We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr, touchdown, yes! Detroit Lions. TJ Hockenson, yes! They did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another Wednesday night edition of Twitter Spaces. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Mr. Malcolm Hart. Here, how are you boys doing today on this hot Wednesday night? Hot Wednesday night.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well, bro. Can't complain, man. Malcolm, what's up with you, man?
What's going on, man? I'm chilling, bro. How y'all doing today, man?
Malcolm, I thought I lived in Miami today.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Malcolm, that earlier.
Nah, you didn't. Nah, man. I'm telling you, we're on some different type of heat right now, man.
It was 100 degrees today in Michigan.
It was 100? Oh, wow.
In Michigan.
It was like 100 flat or?
It was 98 flat, and then with the index, it was 104 or something like that, 105.
Okay, you got to have us beat today.
Yeah, it was hot.
It was in the 90s. It was like 94, 95 today.
Yeah, it's something similar here. But yeah, it was hot today.
Yep.
Yeah, man, I don't like this.
We broke records today in Michigan.
You guys broke records?
With how hot it was.
But, yo, I feel bad for anybody that don't have those shade things to cover like your front window on your car. Because if you don't have that, bro, like everything hurts. Like you ever touch a seatbelt with the heat on it, bro?
Yeah.
That's like the worst feeling in the world.
Why?
Malcolm, I started the car today, and then I went inside so I wouldn't burn myself on the leather. Waited 5 minutes, then went to the car and left.
Yeah, I don't have leather. Man. I have a Jeep, so I don't have the leather seats. But
I feel you, but it's the seatbelt, the buckle,
hot,
bro.
Yeah,
it's the buckle.
Yeah, it is hot.
That buckle is like...
Yeah, it gets hot. All right. Well, we're not here to talk about the weather, even though it's hot as balls out here. Let's talk about the Detroit Lions. We actually have some topics to talk about. Again, you know, it's the middle of June. There's not much football talk right now. But we're going to do a couple topics. And the Lions actually made a move. So we're going to talk about that first. I want to talk about the move the Lions made. So the Lions, a couple days ago, by the time you guys listen to this, if you guys are live, it was yesterday. The Lions signed former wide receiver, now converted tight end, Devin Funchess, former University of Michigan alumni, former Harrison High School. So he's from here, hometown, now playing for his hometown Detroit Lions. And, you know, I brought up something unique. He's switching positions. You know, this is the first time in his career that he's going to go from wide receiver to tight end. And we've talked about this Lions tight end room being pretty thin. You know, we have TJ Hockenson, then after that, I think there's a lot of question marks as who's going to be the guy after that. You know, they have guys like Brock Wright. They got guys like Griffin that they got from the Saints. And then after that, I mean, they got the rookie, James Mitchell, too. So, I mean, they have some guys, but there's a lot of uncertainty behind TJ Hockenson. And the Lions shook it up the room a little bit. and they go after a guy like Devin Funchess. So I'm going to start off with you, Pierre. They go out and get a guy like Funchess. How are you feeling about this, and how are you feeling about the position switch?
So the position switch kind of makes sense because he struggled staying healthy, and his body type is more like kind of like a tight end. You know, he ran a 4.7. That's not really ideal for a wide receiver. Well, for a tight end, add some weight to that, you're looking good, right? Thing is with Funchess, though, he's been hurt the past, what, 2-3 years?
He hasn't played since 2019.
Yeah.
And he only played one game that year.
But he's 6'4". And I like this signing because it's like a high risk, low reward. If it doesn't work out, you just cut him. If it works out, you have a tight end 3 at best. Or tight end.
I think he meant the other way around. Low risk, high reward.
Yeah, my bad. That's what I meant. Sorry. Low risk, high reward. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so there's not very much risk in Devin Funchess because if he doesn't make the team.
But like if he makes it, he doesn't, whatever. He gets cut, you don't have no cap penalty, nothing happens. It could be a good story, you know, he's from here. I'm pretty sure he's hungry. They're looking for those hungry players, those prove it guys. You know, we saw that with Charles Harris here. We saw that with Jerry Jacobs here, right? Like they're looking for these type of guys. So let's see what he could do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, it's a guy that has had production in the league and, you know, he's switching positions now. He's gonna be testing the tight end position, and kind of like you mentioned, you know, he hasn't really played and forever. Last year he didn't play. Last year with the Packers he was hurt. 2020 opted out of the year. 2019 only played one game with the Colts. So it's been a minute since we've seen Devin Funchess on the field. So by no means is he a guarantee to make the team, and if he does, we don't really know what we're expecting. But like Pierre said, there's really no risk attached to this move right now. So it's kind of another guy to bring in, compete, a guy who's had good production in the league before, even though this is a new position for him. And if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, okay. Like, that's fine, too. I mean, there's really not much risk here. I mean, I'm all for it. It's a hometown guy. We need depth at the tight end position. And quite frankly, I'm kind of interested to see how it ends up folding out. And if he makes it to the preseason roster, I'm intrigued to see what he could do. Maybe he could be a solid contributor to the team, and we'll see how the position switches. I mean, he's still fairly young. I think he's, 28 years old, 27 years old. So, I mean, if it works out, cool. I mean, you still got a pretty young player. So, I'm all for it, man. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. I'm very interested in this move, man, because I just want to see, like, how he's going to come in and, like, how he looks. Like, what is his weight? Does anybody know, like, what his weight is right now? Like, is he, like, 240, 260? Maybe he had to play for a while.
When he came in, he was, like, 232 or 225, something like that.
That was when he was a receiver.
Yeah, let me see what he's listed on the Lions website. Let's see.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, that's something I want to see, too, man. Like, how is he physically? Like, his weight? And like, how is he going to play the tight end position? I know as a wide, him being a receiver, he could be a mismatch for the linebacker, the safeties, because he knows how to get open. He has good hands, so that's, he could be a good weapon if things work out. But I just want to see how he just transitions to the tight end, or maybe they just, you know, use him as an additional, you know, wide receiver. Maybe, who knows? He's, you know, just inside, but I just want to see how to use him, man, and how he's looking physically. You know he. Like you said, he had to play in a while. Yeah. So I don't know what to expect from him.
Yeah.
He's listed right now, 6'4", 225. I don't know how accurate that is.
If he's 225, man, nah. He had to pull some more weight on that.
He probably did, or he's working on it at least.
Yeah. But I just want to see how he looks, man. And like Tyler said, man, I want to see how he looks if he is on this preseason roster. I want to see how he looks in the game. I want to see. It's just something to be interested about, man. Not nothing like there's no lock for him to make the roster or not. And right. Like you said, if he doesn't work out, he just gets cut. This is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much flashiness to the move. And it ultimately probably will never be a flashy move. But maybe, just maybe, he could make the team, make the final 53, and he could come a solid contributor. And I would say getting a guy this late into the process, you're in the middle of June, that would be considered a win. And if, again, if it doesn't work, it's not a big deal. So, again, there's not any risk attached to this at all. So, I mean, it's intriguing, I would say.
Early predictions. Do you think he makes a roster?
That's tough for now, because I don't know. I don't even know how he looks as a tight end. I mean, is he a good blocker? I mean, this is a whole new transition for him. So, I don't really have a prediction right now.
What about you, Pierre?
Malcolm, I think maybe more of a practice squad guy. Develop him as the season goes on. If you need him, you call him up. I don't think he'll make the team right now, just because I think Campbell trusts Garrett Griffin more. Is that his name? Garrett.
Yeah.
And then they have James Mitchell. He's obviously not healthy yet. Then you have Hawk, and you have Wright, and you have Zylstra. Zylstra, by the way, has had a good camp.
Yes.
I've read. Or a good OTA's camp hasn't started yet. But we'll see, man. We'll see what happens. You never know. Like, if he goes crazy, sure. But right now, I'd say no.
I'm going to say no, too. I'm going to say no for right now until I see more.
That's fair. I think that's definitely fair. I don't really have an expectation right now or predictions, because I think it's so early into the process. I haven't even seen him in a Lions uniform yet, like even in one of those like training camp uniforms. So it's really hard to make a prediction. But I would probably lean towards more towards no if I had to make a prediction right now. All right. Well, let's transition to our next topic. So there it is. You got Devin Funchess on a pretty much short-term deal. We're going to see how that works out. But let's talk about the big name of the Lions, the quarterback for the Lions. That's Jared Goff. And we're going to talk about what Jared Goff has to do in 2022 for us three. And there are probably all going to be different opinions between the three of us. But what Jared Goff has to complete this season for us to be confident that he could be the quarterback going forward for the Detroit Lions. Because if you're like me, once he first got here in the trade for Matthew Stafford, I'm like, yeah, Jared's probably going to be here for 2 years, maybe even 1 year. And then we'll probably get a new quarterback in 2023. I said that even last year during the midway through the season. But maybe that could change with the season that Jared Goff has. And we're going to set some expectations for the Detroit Lions starting quarterback. So let's do that right now. So, Pierre, you're coming into 2022. Jared's going to be your starting quarterback. The Lions didn't really address the position in the offseason. They brought back the same quarterback room, Jared, Boyle, Blau. They didn't do anything else. They didn't draft the guy. They didn't do anything of that. So Jared's going to be your starting quarterback, no doubt about that. What are you expecting out of Jared Goff? And are those expectations that you were expecting out of him good enough for you to believe that he could be the quarterback going past 2022?
All right, here's the thing. He has a great O-line, arguably the best or one of the best, right? He has a good running game. Not a great running game, but a good running game. And he has some receivers. I mean, there's still some question marks because Jameson Williams, can DJ Chark stay healthy? But he has better receivers than starting last year. We could agree with that, right?
Yes.
He has Hockenson back as well. Swift is back. Honestly, I'm expecting him to play like he did towards the end of the season last year. And I don't think that's necessarily asking too much, because it's not like he was throwing for 300 yards and 4 or 5 touchdowns. He was playing efficient football, good football, wasn't turning the ball over, wasn't making stupid decisions. Like, he doesn't need to play hero ball, but I'm expecting him to play that type of, those type of numbers.
Now, is that good enough, in your opinion, to stick with him past 2022? Or do you think they should go a different route and potentially upgrade the quarterback position?
Here's the thing. We always say with quarterbacks, you're either a truck or you're a trailer. I don't think he's a truck. I don't think he could carry a team on his own. He needs help. He's not like, if you could upgrade, you upgrade. Like, you look at the Niners, they had Jimmy G. It's kind of a similar situation. Like, he's not elite, but he'll get the job done for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you could somehow upgrade that, like, they traded a hell of picks for Trey Lance. We'll see how he is, but I still think highly of Lance.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So I think if the Lions, I think they're comfortable with Goff, but if they could upgrade, they will. Like, I don't think they're set in stone because they haven't extended him. They didn't redo his cap number. When you redo a cap number, you know, like you lower the cap, you push money into the future. They didn't do that. So I think the Lions are kind of have the same questions as us. They're waiting.
Waiting and see right now, basically.
Wait and see, yeah.
And I think that's fair. I think that's what they should do, honestly. I don't think they should be set in stone right now with Jared Goff. I really don't think he should be your guaranteed answer past 2022. It's a proven year for Jared. And like you said, they went out and got him some new weapons. They got him two new receivers. They went out and got DJ Chark from Jacksonville. They drafted Jameson Williams, the number 12 pick. They traded up to go get him. He might not play right away, but at some point we're expecting Jameson Williams to be back on the field for the Lions. So they got him some new toys. Offensive line was already good for him last year, and we think very highly of the unit. I think it's a top five unit in the NFL. You could maybe even make the argument top three unit in the NFL. And you're giving him an offensive coordinator where he played very well with towards the end of the year. You know, he's a guy that's comfortable with it. He's comfortable with. He's not having to learn a new system. So there really isn't any excuses for Jared Goff. And the thing, the way I look at Jared Goff, it's kind of like you just mentioned. Like, he's okay. He's fine. I don't think he's ever going to be elite. I think Jared Goff is what Jared Goff is. Now, do I think we're going to see a better version of Jared Goff this year than we did last year in the beginning of the year? Absolutely, because that version of Jared Goff was terrible. So do I think we're going to see a better version? Absolutely, I think we're going to see a better version of Jared Goff. I think, like you said, we're going to see more of what we saw at the end of the year with Goff translate more into this season in 2022, just with the familiarity with Ben Johnson and him being more familiar with this offense. But is that still good enough for you to believe that Jared Goff is the guy going forward for you past 2022? And the way I look at it is, if there is a guy available for you that you think that is a clear-cut upgrade, you do the move. But I don't think you just get rid of Jared Goff just to get rid of Jared Goff. You have to love this quarterback. Because I think Jared Goff is a good stopgap. Like, a perfect example is last year what the Rams did with the same guy, Jared Goff. Matthew Stafford's available in the open market. We're going to go get him. We're going to go get that guy because he's a clear-cut upgrade over Jared Goff. Now, if there's another guy like that, I don't know who's going to be available next year because you can't predict that. But if there's a guy you absolutely love and you absolutely believe that he's going to be better than Jared Goff, you go out and make that move and you go out and upgrade your quarterback position, because I think there's always a way you could upgrade from Jared Goff. But you don't just move off of Jared Goff just to move off of Jared Goff just because you think a guy could be good. You got to be pretty confident in this decision because Jared Goff could win. I mean, he's been to a Super Bowl. He's won playoff games before. I mean, he's proven he could win in the right situation. But he's never, in my opinion, going to be the reason why you're going to win, if that makes sense.
Yep, that's why I said he's kind of like a trailer, like Jimmy G. He's not a truck. He doesn't carry the team. He needs help. And nothing's wrong with that, but you know, you want to try to find your truck. If you have your truck, you'll be contending for playoffs a lot.
And especially today's NFL, I believe, too, we see quarterbacks, they could absolutely, like, carry teams. And it seems like the really good quarterbacks are the reason why you're winning Lombardi trophies and you're getting deep into playoffs. Like, you could win with guys like Jimmy G. You could win with guys like Jared Goff or Kirk Cousins or Ryan Tannehill, and the list goes on. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I think you have a lot more likelier shot to win with an elite quarterback or a very good quarterback. And frankly, I think Jared Goff is fine, but I just don't think he's in that tier two of quarterbacks. I think he's just in that quarterback where, like, he's fine, but he's never going to be considered good or elite. That's just how I think of Jared.
Yep, I agree. Malcolm, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, oh, man, it's tough, man, because, well, first thing first, like, let me ask you guys a question. Where did you consider Jared Goff as far as talent, like as far as tier in 2018? Where did you have him in tier wise in 2018 when he led the Rams with a top five offense? Actually, top two, because I think they were number two, right under the Rams in 2018. But where did you have Jared Goff in 2018?
One thing we have to remember though, Malcolm, is he had Todd Gurley, one of the best running backs during our time. Unfortunately, injuries caught up to him, whatever. But when they had Todd Gurley, you know, they had a lot of, like, advantages with that.
I get that.
Once Gurley left, it kind of became like the offense was, like, it wasn't as efficient. It wasn't as strong. Goff was making more mistakes.
But where did you rank him in 2018?
I think, like...
Like, what tier? What tier did you have him in?
So he wasn't in tier one. Tier one's late, like right in that tier two, like 9 to 11 range, something like that.
So tier two, 9 to 11,
something like that. Yeah.
The thing was with Jared Goff, and we all talked about this. Like, Jared Goff, you could say he's average, and we could say that he needs everything right for him to make things work. I honestly feel like Detroit Lions right now is in a situation that they have everything around him built. Everything is there. I mean, maybe I'm looking at this with my fan goggles on, but you're looking at the O-line. The O-line is, like you said, maybe top two, top three, top four, top five. Yeah, at least top five.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If they're healthy, man, they could be a four. So right now, he probably has the best line, offensive line he had in his career. Now, the ability that we have right now to stretch the field with DJ Shark, who runs a 4-3-4. Once Jameson Williams comes back, that's another guy that can stretch the field. You're looking at DeAndre Swift. He's not gonna see any loaded boxes next year. Teams are gonna be so afraid of the deep ball with Detroit that they're not gonna load the box. So, we could see a huge year from DeAndre Swift, and just like you said, Todd Gurley was a top running back that year. Who knows next year if DeAndre Swift breaks out?
I'm gonna wait on that. I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, of course. I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything is for sure. Bumps is saying with the light boxes he's going to see next year, he could be a breakout candidate. Him and Jamal Williams, who knows? With the offensive line, the ability to stretch the field. So Jared Goff right now is in a really good situation. Tight end, a top tight end. Now, this all depends on health. You know, who knows? Maybe everything could go bad. Everybody could get hurt, you know, and then Jared Goff is just there with the same roster as last year. But if things are going well, he has everything set up for him. Now, I think the key to this is Ben Johnson. How good is Ben Johnson? Last year, Ben Johnson showed that he was phenomenal. Those last five games with Jared Goff, his numbers were comparable to 2018 to me. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, no, there's no way you could compare that to Sean McVay. I said this 1,000 times. Jared Goff, his game is not for Sean McVay. I think we noticed that as they stayed together longer that, you know, their chemistry is not there. You know, Sean McVay needs a Matthew Stafford type of quarterback for that system to work. Jared Goff is not Matthew Stafford. We know that. But I do think Ben Johnson's offense is more Jared Goff friendly than Sean McVay's offense was to Jared Goff. So I do think Jared Goff could be more successful with Ben Johnson. Now, that's just looking at what Ben Johnson did last year. Like, this year, who knows? Like, I don't really know what to expect. I'm expecting Ben Johnson to be a really good play caller, a pretty good play coordinator for that team. But then again, I don't even know. Right? I don't even know who's going to be calling the damn plays right now.
I was just going to say, we didn't know Ben Johnson's the play caller.
It could be Dan Campbell. But I mean, regardless, whether the answer. Regardless, even if it's Dan Campbell, the last five games, it was working. So my thing is, how good is Ben Johnson going to be to this offense? So if this is what I'm expecting, I'm saying it. I've been saying this for a while. I think this could be Jared Goff's best season, man. Just based off what he has offensively, like he has two guys that can stretch the field. He never had that in with the Rams. Now, he had really great receivers. Really great receiver, but he didn't have no true burners. The last time he had a true burner was buddy from Texans. What's the receiver's name?
Brandon.
Help me out here. Cooks. That was the last time he had a true burner on his team. Now he had guys who gets open, who really smart receivers who could, you know, find a way through the holes through the zones and get open. Cup is a perfect example of that. He's not a burner, but Cup knows how to work. He's a very, very, very smart receiver, and he knows how to work the offense to get open. But Jared Goff never had a burner. He never had two guys that runs a 4.3. I mean, and Jameson Williams might run a 4.2. Who the hell knows? So this could be Jared Goff's best season. Now, am I putting money on it? No, I'm not gonna put money on it. But just look at what he did the last five games with Ben Johnson and his offense. I really do believe that this could be his best season. Now, does that keep him around? It all depends on how far this team goes. If this could be his best season, but the team could win seven games. If they win seven games, I can tell you now, the fan base is going to be screaming to get another quarterback. Now, does the team do it? I don't know. But I guarantee you, every single fan is going to say, we need to upgrade our quarterback if they win seven games. I don't care if he has 110 passer rating, two interceptions, 25 touchdowns.
Hold up.
I'm just saying, if those were his numbers and they won seven games, the fans are still going to say, we need an upgrade at quarterback.
Well, if he had those numbers, no disrespect to whoever says that, but they're stupid. It's
Look at Kirk Cousins. Look at his numbers from last year. Kirk Cousins threw like five interceptions to like 30-something touchdowns. And how many Minnesota fans are saying, get Kirk Cousins out of here?
I don't think many. I think Minnesota fans are kind of content with Kirk right now.
I mean, like,
he had a phenomenal season last year.
Like, well, that's what I'm saying.
He doesn't like move the needle for you. You kind of are what you are with him. Like, kind of like same with Goff and same with Jimmy G. That's why the Niners went out there like, screw it, we're gonna mortgage our future and trade up for Trey Lance, right?
But
like,
the thing is with that though, Jared Goff kind of showed everything already. So if you look at his resume, what does he have? He was a quarterback of a team that had a top two offense in the NFL. He did that. Okay. He won many playoff games. He did that. He went to the Super Bowl. He did that. All right. So his resume shows us stuff that there's no reason not to believe that he can't come to Detroit and win a playoff game if everything is set up for success. I mean, like, he was winning playoff games when he was playing at his worst in with the Rams.
So, was it him though? Like, okay, I know some of it was him, but like,
He was a quarterback.
He was the quarterback. The running game, I know, but the running game was great. You had Sean McVay, who was a genius, literally like was talking to him who to throw it to before he snapped the ball. I mean, was it all him? Like,
no, of course not. I never said it was all him. But what I was saying is that everything was set up for him to succeed, so he could do that. So if everything is set up for him to succeed in Detroit, why can't he do it in Detroit?
I think the way I look at it is, and I think we have a similar, you know, philosophy right here, is that you don't just move off of Goff just to move off of Goff. But if there's a clear-cut upgrade, just like, I don't know, Matthew Stafford was available last year, 2021, available for trade. Like, you go out and make that move. And if the Lions are in that boat, like, there's a quarterback that, like, is available that's a clear-cut upgrade over Jared Goff, you go out and make that move. But you don't just move off of Goff just to move off of Goff, in my opinion. Like, there has to be a clear-cut upgrade for you to make that move. And if he's playing well, then, you know, there's no reason to move on. I mean, save the draft pick and keep upgrading the team at that point.
Tyler, let me ask you a question, man.
Yeah.
If they win seven games next year, do you see any scenario that Jared Goff is on his team next year?
It depends on how they win seven games. Is it because of Goff? Is it because of the defense?
Come on now. Come on. You know that could be because of Goff.
What do you mean? Why? I mean, there's so many different ways how they could win seven games next year. It could Goff could stink next year, and they could win 7 games potentially next year.
Okay, so say if Goff plays acceptable, but they only win 7 games.
If he has a Kirk Cousins type year, like you said, I think they keep Goff.
Okay, so if they win 7 games, but he plays like Kirk Cousins, you say you think that they extend him, keep him, and just roll with it.
If he's the reason why they're not losing games, and he's given them legit opportunities to win games, I think they roll with him.
What about you, Pierre?
Is he also the reason why they're not winning those games, like more games than 7?
I mean, just to say he plays acceptable, he's playing acceptable football, but they just won 7 games.
This is where I'm at. Whether he plays acceptable football, good football, or like whatever, if you could upgrade, you upgrade.
Yeah, that's how. Yeah,
that's how I feel. It depends how he plays. Like, bro, he could come out and have a solid season, but if there's like an elite guy available or an obvious upgrade over him, then you upgrade.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, can they win? I mean, I don't know. I'm just leave that out there. We'll see, man.
You got to remember too, like this is still year 2 of the rebuild. There's still a lot of young guys. There's a lot of questions. So JMO's hurt. Pascal is hurt, right? Romeo Aquara is hurt. And I'm going to bring up C. Henry. Like this is still like year 2 of the rebuild. So I think 7 games is an acceptable expectation. Like it's not asking for a lot.
What I was going to say is now, Wapping on the flip side, Wapping, they overachieve. They win 10 games. They win a playoff game. And Jared Goff, he's playing, just to say, similar to how you played the last 5 games of the season.
That's fine, right? But if you could find someone who could elevate this team, where, like, if you're in the playoffs and, like, let's say you have all those weapons, bro, if you could find an elite quarterback with the weapons they have,
you do it.
Like, if JMO is what we think JMO is, and if Amon Ross St. Brown continues to build on his game, I mean, just with those two guys in the O-line and maybe Hockson if he's here, you could build something really special on offense, right? So
I look at it like the Rams. You could win 10 games with Jared Goff, and they saw Matthew Stafford available. They made the move, even though they won 10 games, even though they made the playoffs. I think they even won a playoff game that year.
They did.
And they still moved off of him.
They did. But I think that McVay-Goff situation was just – just bad.
But if
it was a bad marriage.
Sure. But what if you could upgrade him and you could still get a very good player for Ben Johnson's offense? You make the move.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
See, what's up, man? What's up, Henry?
Real quick question, man. I love the conversation going on tonight with you guys. And I'm kind of in the same camp that you guys are. I believe, you know, Jared Goff has won in this league. And it's going to be hard for us to evaluate him seriously without giving him a full cupboard to work with. But to your point, you know, you guys keep saying upgrade, and you guys keep pointing to the situation, like to Stafford's situation, where there was clearly a veteran guy out there who we had, you know, had everyone had a chance to see and knew that he was better than Goff. So that move kind of, you know, definitely makes sense. But what do you guys think about the possibility of drafting the guy? Because in that case, we're kind of projecting that this guy is going to be an upgrade over Goff. What's your guys' thoughts about that? And I think 7 games or more, I think it makes it an interesting conversation. I think if the Lions win less than 7 games, then they're definitely going to be calling for Goff's head. I mean, they're already calling for his head. So it's a crazy dynamic here, because I see fans saying that they want Goff going so much that they would rather see this team, this current team, this 2022 team fail so he can be out of town. So what do you guys think about that and the draft prospect replacing him?
First of all, like, I'm rooting for Goff's success, because if Goff has success, right, if he plays well, the Lions play well.
That's stupid. I feel you're like cheering for your team to lose so you can get the guy out of here. That's stupid.
I mean, bro, if you have that problem solved, like if Goff could show he's a franchise quarterback, I don't think he is yet, but if he could show it, then you have that. You have one of the biggest, like, position checked off, right? So that would be a really good thing for the Lions if he plays well. Regarding the draft thing, like if they love a guy and they think he could be a franchise guy and they think he could elevate this team, then sure. I mean, I don't want to get into prospects now. It's too early. But, like, if a C.J. Stroud is available, sure, right? Like,
Bryce Young.
I'll say about the rookie quarterback, definitely a lot more riskier route than what the Rams did, because like you mentioned, Stafford, we know what Stafford could do. He's proved on the big stage that, well, not necessarily the big stage, like playoff games or anything like that, but like we knew his talent could translate to big games, right? So that was, like you said, more of a guarantee because the Rams knew what they were getting. But we've seen teams like the Niners, a team that made it as far as the NFC Championship, and it looks like that they're going to roll with a now second-year quarterback, but a guy that doesn't really have much experience, and that's Trey Lance, right? So definitely a lot more riskier route. But I will say, if Brad Holmes went the route of going the rookie quarterback instead of a veteran guy just because we don't know who's going to be available, I would be okay with that personally just because I trust Brad Holmes so much, and I like that. I've had no reason to doubt his evaluation of prospects yet because I think he's done a very good job in getting prospects. So if he went the route and he thinks he gets a franchise quarterback, I'm completely fine with it. I have complete optimism that Brad Holmes could get that guy in the draft, even though, like you said, it is much more riskier because the guy has never taken a snap in the NFL. But if they did go that route and I have a GM that I trust, I look at it like this. I got a quarterback for 5 years on a rookie contract, and I have so much cap that I could keep building my team even more. So if they went the rookie route and I have a GM I'm confident in, I'll sign me up. I'm down for that.
Yeah, and when you look at Brad Holmes, he's not – they love a player, bro. Like, we saw it with J-Mo. They also – we saw it with Debo. They tried to trade for Debo before the J-Mo thing. That didn't go down. But they're going to be aggressive. If they're targeting a position or a player – they're going to do everything in their power to try to get that player. Like, if Brad Holmes loves a QB next year and he thinks he could get him and he wants to move on from Goff, he'll go and get him.
Okay. Absolutely. I'm going to say no, and I really hope Brad Holmes doesn't do that unless Joe Burrow is in this draft again or there's a quarterback just like Joe Burrow who just have the same winning factor and, you know, lights up the college level and win national. If there's a quarterback like that, I'm down. There's another Joe Burrow too. Show me a Joe Burrow 2.0. I'm down, but I would rather them just get a guy that you already know what they can do, because that's just every quarterback in a draft. I mean, I'm gonna tell you, it's really a hit or miss, man. There's no guaranteed guy. Like, we could be talking about this conversation 2 years from now, and Trevor Lawrence could be a complete ass. Like, we don't know if this guy's ever gonna take off. And he had, and this guy was phenomenal. We're talking about, we're saying this guy is special. But the thing is, you just don't know a rookie quarterback. It's really a hit or miss. It's really risky. I want to do it because I think they really have a team and they have a foundation. And if they could just get a guy who's already there, who's like just in the market that they already know clear cut is going to be an upgrade over Goff, do it.
Yeah, but Malcolm, you look at the Niners, bro. Like,
the Niners. The thing is, you talk about the Niners. We don't know what the Niners are.
We don't know yet. We don't know what they are yet.
They could be terrible. Yeah, but terrible.
But they took that risk. I feel like if they left the quarterback, I mean, whoever it is, I don't know. But if they love a quarterback, bro, and they think they could go get him and they want to move on from Goff, they'll do everything in their power to go get that player. We saw it with J-Mo this year. Like, they love J-Mo.
If Joe Burrow was in this was a rookie again, do it. I think Joe Burrow was a for sure quarterback. Do it.
And I think the position of, when you look at positional player, that's a little bit different than the quarterback situation. You know, they definitely, you know, were in love with J-Mo, and they knew that they could, you know, they wanted to get him, but it was also a wide receiver rich draft. So if he wasn't their guy, they could still possibly get a quality guy first or second round. They had already acquired DJ Chark in free agency. When you look at the quarterback position, it's only one out there at a time. Even with the San Francisco situation, yeah, they went and acquired Trevor, but they gave up a lot to get him. And they also kept Garoppolo as a bridge. So That's a very, very different and interesting concept as well. When you guys say go out and get this guy, is that under the guise of we're going to keep Goff another year to be the bridge to really, really evaluate what we have, or it's just like get him out of town and throw this new guy into the mix? Because at that point, we're going to be looking at possibly year three of this new regime's, I guess, reign, if you will, or era. And at that point, 3 years in, you've got to be winning ball games. You got to be competing for the playoffs. So that's a very, very interesting dynamic. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if it's me, dude, like, I'm not even doing what the Niners did. I'm throwing my quarterback in there right away. Like, if I'm trading up all this capital and I have a team, because NFL windows don't last long. You have to maximize the window that you have. I just don't think you have time to mess around and say, oh, we got to develop him. And I know you don't want to throw the guy in a bad situation, but if you're trading all this capital to move up in the draft for him, you better be damn confident he's going to be a quarterback, and you better be damn confident he could be a quarterback day one for you. I'm not even doing what the Niners did. I'm starting this guy day one, and I'm going to maximize the window with who I believe is the best quarterback out there.
Oh, that's terrible. I would never do that. If the kid's not ready, the kid's not ready.
Don't draft him then.
No, but I mean, they drafted Trey Lance knowing he wasn't ready. I mean, he played at North Dakota State. Yeah. I mean, you're to go from North Dakota State to say, oh, welcome to the NFL. Go out there and make a name for yourself. You know, if you destroy a young quarterback's confidence early, they could destroy their career.
I get that. But then don't go for the rookie quarterback that you're not confident he can start day one. Like, you don't have that time to mess around in the NFL, dude. You don't have years to just mess around.
Bro. The Niners did it.
How do we know that's going to work, though?
There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee.
They could have just wasted last year with Jimmy G. You know, what if Trey Lance was that guy and he could have got you to beat the Rams and you were in the Super Bowl instead? Because Jimmy didn't do anything spectacular in those playoffs.
They would know. They would.
But they got a guy last year who, no doubt, looking at this year's draft, no doubt this guy will be the number one pick, the number one quarterback this year. First of all, he wasn't even in this draft, but no doubt he would have been the first pick this year. Yeah. They were able to still make a playoff run. He still got reps in practice. He still went up against a great defense. He still got coached for a year. I think that we have to look at multiple ways to win. And as a winning franchise, a winning situation in San Fran, I think that was smart because they know not only went to the NFC Championship game, but if they're confident enough in this young kid that he's going to be special, they've got a special talent. Now, us as Lions, we've been so conditioned to losing. Hopefully we get a foundational piece, a building block in the draft, and that's how we do it. And we're not looking at these teams like San Fran and the Rams, who, you know, have done great jobs. First of all, it starts with drafting great. They've drafted so well in years past that they've gotten to the point where they're ready to win now, and they can trade some of these picks for proven, you know what I'm saying, veteran players. I think there's multiple ways to definitely build a winner. And San Francisco, I think that was a great move by them to go up and get the guy that they like, a guy who, you know, yeah, you say that, you know, hey, they wait a year, but no one was even worth drafting in the first round except for Kenny Pickett. And if they, you know, have the success that they had, they wouldn't have been there to draft him anyway. So if they wanted to trade up for someone this year, they were still going to come off the capital, but they weren't going to have the quality of player that was there. So I think it was a great move by San Fran.
And I got to be honest.
As Lions fans in our organization, and I love what Brad is doing, but we do have to look at other ways to build in a winner. We don't have to lose to get Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud next year and then think about winning football games. There may be a veteran available. You know, Denver was able to go out and get somebody. The Rams made a move. Or we can just, you know, be, I don't want to say mid, but, you know, take the steps in the progression. Go to 7 wins, go to 9 wins, and then, you know, maybe do what Kansas City did. They were off team when they moved up and drafted Mahomes.
Yeah, you just don't want to be Washington. Like, you don't want to be kind of, like, just stuck. Where they traded for Carson Wentz this offseason. Last year they had, what was it, Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
Year before they had Heineke or whatever his name is. You don't want to be in that situation either. So right now I think you have your bridge, sort of. If you could upgrade, you do it. If not, just roll with him until, like, you could find a replacement or I think that's what
I was gonna say the Washington. I mean, their franchise is just not smart. Like they had chances to get quarterbacks.
They have.
When they drafted Chase Young, they could have grabbed a quarterback instead of Chase Young. But they figured, hey, let's build up our pass rush.
That, or even I would say not this draft, but the 2021 draft. I thought they had opportunities to move up in that draft when you had five quarterbacks that you could have moved up and got. You know, one of you know you weren't gonna get Lawrence, but you could have got. I don't know, Mac Jones or I don't know, whoever, right? Like there was five solid quarterbacks that you could have drafted last year.
Yeah, they passed up on all of them.
Yep. Well, they didn't even try to make a move to get one, you know?
Yeah, they just don't care.
Yeah.
They're like, well, we'll figure it out.
I don't want to be in that situation where you're kind of just stuck with like
Guarantee you Brad Holmes would not let the Detroit Lions be in that situation. So I guarantee you.
No, man, everything about that Washington team sucks. Their uniform sucks. Their team name sucks. The colors suck.
But yeah,
their owners actually might be forced to sell.
Yeah,
they're in a bad spot.
Is a mess.
We're not. If there's one thing the Lions are not, and the Lions are a lot of bad things, but we're not the Commanders.
Yeah, we're not the Commanders, bro. But going to your point, Tyler, I mean, I don't see a problem with the whole benching the quarterback. I don't see a problem with it because I mean if the Chiefs didn't bench Pat Mahomes year one, he may not be Patrick Mahomes.
It's true.
He may not be the Patrick Mahomes we see right now. You know, it took him a whole year to see what the hell he did in practice. You're like, oh shit, this dude is like wow. Like there was a scene of throws he was making in practice, and there was a scene that the throws he could make, Alex Smith cannot make. So yeah,
right.
That was an easy transition. Well, I'm rooting for Trey Lance. I mean, hopefully Trey Lance works out, but yeah, it's very uncertain. I don't know.
It's risky.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, C. Henry.
Yep. I'm going to bring up Colts now. Lion King. Lion King, how's it? Next, after that, would be Nick. How's it going?
Lion King.
What's up, dude?
What's up, man? Congratulations, happened, man? First of all.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, man. Congratulations, bro.
Thank you.
Yep. Congrats, Colton.
Are we congratulating?
Thank you. I just got married.
You got married, dude.
Oh, shit. Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
No, what am I congratulating?
What's up?
Fucked up.
No, I just wanted to bring up real quick. I was pulled up. Can y'all still hear me? I'm on my phone.
Yeah, we get you.
Yeah, cool. Man.
Sweet. Yeah. So I just pulled up Jared Goff's contract, and I think that's how, like, you tell what a team's going to do. So if the Lions did end up cutting Jared Goff for whatever reason this offseason, they would lose $30 million in dead money, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you look on 2023, and I'm looking here at over the cap, they only lose $10 million if they cut him next year, $5 million in 2024. And so I think it's excellent what Brad Holmes has done to construct the roster where you have a 2-3-year window to get your quarterback. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah, no, they restructured it perfectly. Like, they knew Goff was going to be the guy for 2 years, so obviously last year and then this year, and then they could evaluate what they want to do with him afterwards. There's no long-term commitment with Goff after this season, so if they want to move off of him, if they think that they could upgrade the position, they could do that with not taking a hit in the cap, or not too much of a hit, I should say, on the cap. So, yeah, absolutely. Brad Holmes has done a phenomenal job. He's given Goff, I think, a fair opportunity. You know, last year, you know, maybe not the best pieces around him, but he got familiar with the city of Detroit, got familiar kind of what the Lions do around here. And then this year, he gets him some new toys. He's given him a fair opportunity, give him another offensive coordinator that he was comfortable with towards the end of the year. So there's really no excuse for him. So if he's not the guy, they could easily move off of him. And if he is the guy, then, you know, maybe you look to give him another contract or whatever, right? So, yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Brad Holmes has played this perfectly. There's no long-term commitment. And also, if it works out, they still have the luxury that they still have Goff on the book. So it's been perfectly done by Brad Holmes.
And another thing, too, like kind of just – they didn't restructure his contract this offseason, right? They didn't extend him. So, like, I thought maybe they'd restructure it, but they didn't. So that tells you kind of what they think. Like, they don't want to be tied to him any longer. They're just kind of like
it's
going
white. I mean, he played year one with, you know, 75% of a coordinator that didn't know what the hell he was doing, and didn't really get to evaluate Goff. So why would you extend him if you don't know, you don't have a clear evaluation of him?
I'm saying restructure, like to create.
I mean, yeah. Why would you restructure his deal if you don't have a clear evaluation of him? He was in a terrible situation last year. We all saw that.
Yeah. Right. So it's wait and see.
Lion King. So we're going to the positive side of this right now. Instead of talking about things that could go wrong for golf, like what does golf have to do to stay in Detroit or for the Lions? What do you think he has to do for the Lions to extend him?
As awful as this sounds, I don't think there's any situation where he's the quarterback in 4 years.
There's no situation. So you're saying there's absolutely nothing he could do
unless he goes and has like a Patrick Mahomes 2018 and like goes insane, Jesus, lights the world on fire.
Jesus.
See, but Malcolm, well, that's damn. The thing is, dude. I think everyone looks at it. You could always upgrade from Goff. Like, yeah, he's fine. He's all right. But like, there's always gonna be not always, but there always could be a scenario where you could upgrade from Goff.
So,
and I also think
what if Goff wins the Super Bowl?
If Goff wins the Super Bowl, great.
I mean, bro,
we'll have a great time in Detroit, Malcolm. We'll fly you out. We'll have a beautiful time, dude.
Yes.
What kind of question is that? If Goff wins,
I don't know. Like, do you still move on for him? Like, God, like,
dude, no, man.
Like, I'm hearing there's no chance for him.
We haven't won a championship since 1957. You're gonna ask me if we win a Super Bowl? Come on, man.
I'm just putting things out there. I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but I'm just saying, like, I'm just trying to see what does Goff have to do to stay in Detroit. And I'm saying, like, will a Super Bowl keep him? Does this man have to do the impossible? Does he have to go out and do the impossible just to stay as the Detroit quarterback?
In L.A., he didn't win it, but he went to the Super Bowl, and they're like, nah, we're moving on.
Well, that's just
a he won a playoff game in L.A. his final year. They're like, no, we're moving on. Like, bro,
you know what? Same
with Jimmy G. Like, the Niners went to the Super Bowl with Jimmy G. They didn't win, but they went to the Super Bowl, right? They're like, no, we're moving on.
No, but they didn't have like a top two offense. It's, I don't know.
The Niners went to a conference championship last year.
They did.
And they're like,
but absolutely nothing of that was because of Jimmy G. Absolutely nothing. There's no part of that was because of Jimmy G. Because they had a really great defense and they ran the ball.
And that's the question mark with Goff. Is he going to be the reason? If he's the reason, then you don't move off of him. But we have to see if he's going to be the reason.
What was his numbers in 2018? Like he played football. Jimmy G didn't do anything. Jimmy G probably threw like 2,000 yards.
Okay, I could bring up the same thing.
If we're talking about 4 years ago, honestly.
You take off Deebo off that team, they're not as good. You take off Todd Gurley off the team, they're not as good. Like I look at it the same way. Goff is not going to be the reason you're winning that game. Stafford was going to be the reason you win a game, regardless of what your roster is. We saw that many years in Detroit. No matter what roster you put, Stafford's going to give you a fighting chance any game. I don't feel that confident, that same confidence with Jared Goff. I just don't.
But I'm saying those are like two different offices. Like we're looking at two different offices.
I'm looking at Stafford in Detroit. I'm looking at him in
not that. I'm comparing Jimmy G with the 49ers to Jared Goff when he was with the Rams. Those are two different offices. If you look at his bet, Jimmy G didn't do. Jimmy G did absolutely nothing. Jimmy G, wasn't. They literally had a top two offense with the Rams.
The team is very similar. Like McVay comes from the Shanahan offense.
I get that, but I mean you're talking about a quarterback who threw 4,000 yards, almost 5,000 yards to Jimmy G, who threw 2,000 yards. Like he could the passing game was so bad. They said, look, we're not going to put Deebo. We're going to just run you, Deebo, because you can't get shit in as a receiver because this dude is not getting you the ball that well. Who's going to run you?
No, they had to use him as a running back because their running backs got hurt.
I know. I'm just bullshitting, man. But the offense is two different offices, man. You're talking about a guy who
I love what you said.
Put up 50 points. Who are putting up 50 points. Like, I don't know.
I don't know, man. Goff has a lot of proving to do. I think he is what he is.
Well, apparently, to Lion King, there's not shit he could prove. There's nothing he could do.
I'm just saying that because there's no way there's not a better quarterback in the next 4 years.
If Detroit Lions do the impossible and win the Super Bowl, do they keep him?
Sure.
Sure? Okay. He had a chance. There we go.
Going back to what Pierre said, he has to be the truck.
He has to do what?
Be a truck.
He had to be a truck?
Not a truck.
Not a trailer.
You want that confidence in your quarterback that he's going to be the reason you're going to win the game. Like, I just don't have that confidence in Jared Goff. I just don't.
Now, when you say be the quarterback and win your game, like, are you talking about, like, needing – you're down six, you need a touchdown to score. Do you believe in Goff? Is that what you're talking about? Because Goff could do that.
That's fine. No, I'm saying I'm down 17 at half. I need a guy that I could – I believe that he can make a comeback.
I mean, Jared Goff could do that.
I don't – I'm not as
– It all depends on the team that he's in.
What I'm talking about is, like, an elite quarterback.
Okay, there's a you know the quarterback.
Okay, you're down 17 points. Jared Goff has to throw the ball 50 times. Are you confident Jared Goff throwing the ball 50 times in a game?
50 times?
No, like I just
sure depends on his offense. It depends on the offense. Do I trust Jared Goff to throw the ball 50 times with this offense? Say if Jameson Williams is healthy.
No, I still don't like him throwing the ball 50 times.
I don't like him to do it every game, but if he has to, I think I wouldn't mind it. They have weapons. Now, if you asked me this question last year with the weapons they had, do I want Jared Goff throwing the ball 50 times last year with his tight end being Brock Wright? His only receiver is Amon-Ra St. Brown. No, I don't want – damn near didn't want him to throw the ball 20 times.
Yeah.
I think I don't know. 50 times? No.
How many quarterbacks do you want them throwing the ball 50 times?
No, you don't want any of your quarterbacks to do that because that means you're down or like you have a problem. You can't run the ball or something. You don't
what I'm saying. Are you confident if things are going shit, your quarterback has to throw the ball 50 times in a game? Are you confident Jared Goff could do that?
No.
I mean, that's not going to win you anything. We've seen Matthew Stafford throw the ball 50 times, and where did that lead us?
What do you think playing Goff is like?
1-5. You need to throw the ball 50 times.
Like when you need a play and you really need that play and you need
something come up big. That's what I said. You're down six. You have a minute left on the clock. Do you trust Jared Goff to get you that touchdown?
Okay, you're down 17 points at half with Jared Goff. Are you confident he's going to come back to that game?
It depends how the team is playing. The defense is playing like shit. Offense is playing bad. No. But what I'm saying is if the team is down by six and we have a minute with maybe one timeout or maybe no timeouts left on the clock, do I trust Jared Goff to score a touchdown? Me, yes.
Do you trust Jared Goff to score a touchdown? We've seen that before, yes. You could say
that. Okay, then. That's all you need.
No, what that's else not do what you need. That is not all you need, though.
No,
that
what you need is, like, you need a true franchise quarterback, and I don't think Goff is that yet.
As long as my quarterback can play clutch in clutch moments and win you games,
I'm down with that.
Is he going to get us in the clutch?
He did that last year with absolute shit. He did that last year with garbage. I'm talking about absolute. He did that with a really bad situation. He should have did it twice. He should have did it the first Minnesota game, but the defense gave it up. He should have did it against the Baltimore game, but the defense screwed it up. He should have did it multiple times.
Is this like year six, or year seven for Jared Goff?
Isn't this year six? He could have drafted in 2016.
Bro, you're 6 years into your career. I feel like you are what you are. Could you get a little better? Yes, but it's not like you're going to get crazy better. I feel like you are what you kind of are at this stage of your career. You're not like entering year three, or you're not like trying to prove like you kind of are what you are. Like so you're an average quarterback.
So you're saying there's no chance. There's no chance that Jared Goff ever becomes. Or be the quarterback he was in 2018.
No, because I think that's long gone.
Okay. Okay, we will revisit that situation.
We're talking about 4 years ago, bro.
I understand.
One of the best offensive minds in all of football with a great running back. One of the best running backs in our generation. If he didn't get hurt, yeah, I feel like we'd be talking about him like more. People forget about what Todd Gurley was. I believe he was a two-time All-Pro, right?
He was. He probably was the best running back that year.
He was unreal, right?
He was great.
He goes down. Their offense just like it's not what it was. It becomes like kind of like McVay's kind of lost too. Jared Goff is making more mistakes. It was just a disaster once he went down. Like it wasn't. They weren't as efficient.
So you're saying that he was in a really great situation?
Yeah,
Jared. Yes.
So there's no way. One of the best situations. So you're saying that there's no way he ever gets in a situation that's a really good situation to bring his game back to that level.
Okay.
Because I really do believe I'm telling you, the key is Ben Johnson. Who are we to say that Ben Johnson is not a better play caller than Sean McVay, or at least better for golf?
I wouldn't.
For Jared.
Or better
for, Jared.
Better for golf. For
Jared. Say, okay.
Better for say. Jared.
There we go.
Better for Jared. Who are we to say that?
I mean, but
we don't know.
Bro, you look at McVay, what he did for Goff, though. He literally, like, babied him, right? Like, he
I
made
get
everything
that, but
easy
that,
for him.
That offense, it wasn't for Goff.
It was for him, though. You just said, look at his 2018 numbers. What else do you want him to do?
And then what happened when the teams caught on to that? It went really bad.
Like, you know how you kind of say Ryan Tannehill with a running game, Ryan Tannehill without a running game? That's kind of what I think of Goff, honestly.
No, Ryan Tannehill was a different boat. Ryan Tannehill, he played in stack box. He played against stack boxes. All he does is he had one-on-one coverage. Is different.
Where do you think? Hey, bro, they paid a lot of like they stacked the box against Gurley and they ran with the play action off of it, and that's how their offense got going.
They did, but I think their receiving core and with the Rams was a little bit better. That teams they respect that as well.
It was, but what do you fear more, Jared Goff's arm or Todd Gurley's legs?
I mean, they had a top two offense, and it wasn't because of just they were like number two or number three in passing offense, and then they were like number one or two in rushing offense. So I mean, it's damn if you do. Todd Gurley helps, like exactly, but again, we don't know what this offense is going to bring. We don't know. Again, we don't know.
We'll see.
What if DeAndre Swift breaks out? What if DeAndre Swift breaks out, and then what?
Honestly, we'll I think Swift is what he is at this point. We'll see. I think he kind of is what he is.
I don't know. Because again,
I'm not like
because with this offense right now, we have guys that can stretch the field vertically. Teams are going to have to respect that regardlessly. DeAndre Swift not going to see any sack.
So Malcolm, could Jared Goff be a top 10 quarterback in the league at any point in his career?
Could he? Yes.
I just don't believe that. Okay.
So I think if everything is built around him, I think there's no reason why he can't succeed.
Okay,
and I'm not saying he'll be a top five quarterback, but what he did in 2018, could he be somewhat of that? I think he can.
All right. That's where we think differently. I don't think he's ever going to be a top 10 quarterback in the league ever again.
So you don't think he could, if everything is built around him, you don't think he'll be like 2018 Jared Goff? There's nothing you could do.
I don't think he'll ever be a top 10 quarterback. There's always going to be a reason to upgrade
from Jared Goff. 2018 Goff is like MVP type of numbers. I don't think we'll see 2018 Goff, but I think we could see an efficient Goff. But again, like you said, everything gets to be perfect around him. I want a quarterback where like not everything gets to be perfect around him, and he could still win. That's what I want.
Like imagine having an elite quarterback with everything perfect around that guy.
Like imagine having
you're gonna be unstoppable. I mean, those situations don't happen.
Why don't you do that then? If you have that opportunity,
I mean, well, elite quarterbacks don't just fall from trees, man. You gotta,
you gotta
see if it was available.
But you bring up the scenario ever. You say it. This is from your words. Quarterbacks are coming like the NBA. They could be available any second now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, like okay, so say if next year Josh Allen says "F the Bills, I want out, trade me."
Oh, no.
Duh. Try to get Josh Allen. I mean, that's not you're asking for an elite quarterback. If he comes available, duh, do it. But I mean, if it doesn't happen, I mean,
well, that's why I literally said that. Don't rush it. Don't take a quarterback just to take a quarterback. You do it if it is a clear upgrade over Goff. That was literally my words.
I know, but an elite quarterback. How many elite quarterbacks is in the NFL? You guys are asking for an elite quarterback. How many elite quarterbacks are in the NFL?
You look at the playoffs.
Five.
How many elite quarterbacks?
Four or five.
There's like six, seven.
Six. So there's six or seven elite quarterbacks.
Yes.
So.
And who's to say there's not going to be more?
Yeah, there's a chance. Or right. some could regress. Who knows?
Let's talk about the playoffs for a second. Which quarterbacks from the playoffs this year?
Jimmy G.
Aaron Rodgers. Stafford.
Kirk Cousins?
No.
He didn't make the playoffs? Okay.
Josh Allen, Mahomes. Burrow.
Joe Burrow.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, and he got waxed, but yeah.
But then again, now you see those two quarterbacks. Tannehill, they were talking about potentially moving on from him. They didn't do it, but they did draft Willis. So maybe next year they move on from him. Jimmy G, they're moving on from Jimmy G already.
I don't think Malik Willis takes his job, man.
Not now, but potentially. I mean, you never know. We'll see. But
Man, he will need a hell of a career, man. Good. I mean, I hope things work out, but no.
I think the Titans are in the same boat as the Niners are. They're like, if we could find an upgrade, we're going to do it. If not, we'll just stick with Tannehill. It's kind of like what the Niners did, right?
They won an elite quarterback. Russell Wilson was out there. They could have tried to trade for him. They didn't.
That's another scenario.
I mean, a lot of teams could have tried to trade for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I think he wanted to go to Denver.
You don't think if the Titans was available for him, you don't think he would say, oh, I'll go to Tennessee?
Well, there you go. There's another scenario. Elite quarterback just hitting the market.
Who?
Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying, like.
You don't know.
Oh, absolutely. I know that. I mean, if somebody crazy out there is available, you shoot. Maybe shoot your shot.
Yeah. Right.
All right. We got one more. Nick. Oh, Nick. What's up?
Nick, how's it going?
Yo, guys.
Nick.
What's good? Hey, skip me and come back to me.
You're the only one left.
There's nobody here, Nick.
One second, guys. So basically, what's the deal with the Lions? What's the new news?
Devin Funch is the Lion.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Devin Funch is? That's Michigan legend, Devin Funch is, bro. You guys remember?
Nick, what are your thoughts on Goff? What are your thoughts on Goff? You keep him? What does he have to do for you to keep him in the future?
Here. Or you move on? This guy, Goff, bro. I mean, he's zipping. He's pretty ass cheek. So I don't know why anyone's talking about keeping this guy past the year. But I mean, I guess we'll see. He was straight with what's his face, Ben Johnson. But bro, I don't know why people are so heated about like keeping Goff or not. Like at the end of the day, you're gonna need a good quarterback. Guy's not good. I don't understand what the argument is. I really don't understand what half the arguments are with the Detroit Lions.
Nick, what does Goff have to do for you to change your opinion?
To change my opinion on Goff?
On keeping him, yeah. What does he have to do for you to say, hey man, let's just keep him?
Like, oh, Goff's that guy.
Just for the Lions, just to keep.
Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, I think they have to make a decision.
Like, he's my quarterback.
They would have to restructure. They would have to do something to his contract at least by next year. So like restructure his contract.
Keep him. Like this is my actual quarterback forever.
Yeah.
Oh my god, bro. He's gonna have to win MVP. Give me a Super Bowl.
Jesus Christ. Jesus.
I don't know. Like,
to say it's impossible, man. Jesus Christ.
Bro, I mean, what's good enough? Like, honestly, God, this team's low key getting sick at this point. Like, you can make playoffs kind of consistently. Like, the roster's there, the coaching's there. Making the playoffs, I know, like, right now, we're just kind of a poopy franchise. No offense to the Lions fans are going to take offense to that. So like
some
people are just gonna tell you oh sorry that by the way that's my brother in the back fucking screaming bro but this guy they're gonna say oh Goff he took us to the playoffs oh my god this guy's Jesus Christ like bro when, like why is playoffs all we want like why can't let me get a couple playoff wins. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Why do Lions fans always?
Because
that's the Jim Caldwell effect.
That's
the Jim Caldwell effect. They're always content with just being
good.
Why don't you want more than good?
No, I want great, bro. I always say that, bro. Like, if you win at one playoff, you get bounced the first round of the playoffs. What's the point of that?
That's what I'm saying.
Like Lions fans are the only fan base to make Jim Caldwell a controversy. Why'd you fire Jim Caldwell?
Dude,
Lions fans are the only fan base to make controversy.
Bro, the thing is, we're just such a shitty franchise that like people think that just going and getting spanked in the playoffs is like a successful season. Like I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but getting spanked in the playoffs is really just like a mediocre to like kind of shitty season for most teams, for like most established teams. So I understand making the playoffs is sick. What's the point of like what was that 1 year with Caldwell when we went and played Seattle? What we lose like 45-0?
Yeah,
I mean, what the hell was the point of that?
It wasn't
season?
That bad, but. But you got waxed. Yeah.
I mean, come on. I want to use a 2016 as an example.
I'm just saying, that year you go to the disaster. Playoffs and you get dicked down, basically. That's all I'm saying.
That season of 2016, we got there only because of Matthew Stafford. Everything was bad. The defense is bad. Our running back was Zach Zenner, goddammit. It was bad. Everybody was hurt. It was bad. Who was our receiver? What's the buddy with the long hair? Buddy with the long hair? Will Fuller?
We had a good receiving core. We had Marvin. We had Golden.
They were hurt. They were hurt.
Yeah, that whole team was hurt.
They didn't play. I don't think they even played in the playoffs.
They played in the playoff game. Both of them
played
in the playoff.
Stafford was hurt. I know he's playing with nine fingers.
Stafford had the boo-boo finger, yeah.
Our running back was Zach. I mean, we were rolling with our fourth-string running back. Yeah, I mean, it was bad.
It was bad.
Now, all right, getting to the playoffs. Okay, so it's not an accomplishment.
That is a perfect argument of what a quarterback could do to your team, though.
Factual. Stafford's an elite. We know that. Stafford, I mean, I've been as far as getting this guy's back, I had Stafford's back his whole years in Detroit. Yeah, there's nobody who had Stafford's back more than me and Pierre.
Trash, yeah,
I can tell you that right now. Now, what if he? Now, I get playoffs is not really an accomplishment, but what happened winning a playoff game? If Jared Goff comes to Detroit,
if he wins a playoff game, and it's like, a convincing, like if like he it depends, bro. How do we win? Are we like the Cincinnati Bengals winning playoff games where my defense gets me three turnovers and I'm getting a last second field goal to beat sorry ass teams that like the Titans where Tannehill can't even pass the ball? Or is he winning me? Or is Jared Goff actually winning me a ball game? Well, like what type of playoff win am I getting?
Like if Tennessee won that playoff game last year, you're still not content with Ryan Tannehill.
I know. Like, yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Like, Joe Burrow didn't win that game. You know what I'm saying? That's just Ryan Tannehill melting down monumentally. If Jared Goff. Legitimately, I'm like, shit. If that boy Jared Goff didn't fucking go off, we wouldn't be here right now. If he has a game like where I'm like, wow, Goff played well, I can see the argument where you want to keep him. But honest to God, I just don't think he's just like a very mid quarterback. Like I don't understand like what the people see in him. Like he's got a solid ball, but he's like scared in the pocket sometimes. Sometimes he tries to rush the ball. My man checks it down every play. You have Jameson Williams now. I'm going to be pissed when Jameson Williams come back on the field. He's torching some sorry-ass DB. I got Goff checking down to fucking DeAndre Swift because he's afraid to make a 30-yard pass, bro. I mean, the guy's a check-down king. I mean, what do you want me to do with that?
You're not going to see that. Because you didn't. The thing is, we didn't see that the last five games of Jared Goff. Yeah, that's when he was playing with absolutely nobody, man.
That's what I'm saying, man. I don't know. Hopefully, you're right. He did get away from it towards the end of the year. But I'm talking about in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
My God. We were unwatchable. Yeah. I mean, every fucking time it was just any check down available was the only shot he was taking.
That was Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn is the one who told him to do all that crap.
Anthony Lynn, bro. Oh my God. Most conservative head coach. I don't know how he keeps getting jobs, that guy.
Yeah, it was that was all because of Anthony Lynn, man. I stand by that because as soon as Ben Johnson took over, we didn't see any of that stuff. We saw a whole different offense, and then he was doing that with less weapons. So yeah, I'll be shocked.
I mean, I think he's gonna be better this year. No BS. Like as much as I'm clowning on Goff, I think he's gonna be a lot better this year, bro. Because just his right receiver core is a lot sicker than it was last year.
Absolutely.
So I think he'll be straight this year. I think he'll be straight. But just being straight's not good enough, bro. I'm not trying to be like. I know you guys mentioned the 49ers. Like, bro, I'm not trying to have Jimmy G. He's the only reason they're not like competing for Super Bowls every single year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm trying to have someone nice.
I mean, like Tyler was saying, Pierre. I mean, I'm with you guys. If there is an elite quarterback that is available that Jared Goff is gonna be better than that guy, and that guy is 100% better than Jared Goff, then yeah, you pull that trigger, man.
Me and Ty been talking about this, bro. We need Josh McDaniels to just shit the bed this year. DC gets DC 2023. That'd be something.
Didn't they pay
Derek Carr? Derek Carr's not going to leave Davante Adams, man.
Bro, yeah, man, he's not leaving. Fuck that.
There's no way he leaves Las Vegas.
That was before Davante Adams. This is before Davante Adams was a Raider.
I'm telling you guys, bro. I'm telling you guys. DC, we get DC, we're competing right now. That's my boy.
DC with MCDC? Oh, that'd be a dream.
Bro, hold up.
There's no way in hell that's happening.
They can move on after 1 year. Never mind.
There's no way in hell that's happening.
All I'm saying is we need a veteran quarterback. I don't know who the hell's gonna. Oh, you know who's gonna be on the market? You guys, Tyler's gonna hate this guy. Lamar Jackson is gonna be a future Lion. Lamar Jackson is gonna be a future Lion, and nobody wants to admit it. We're about to give this guy the bag.
Big trust.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, let's end the show there.
Yeah. Nick, you like Lamar? Nick?
Oh, fuck yeah, I like Lamar. Tyler's the biggest fucking hater on this guy just because he ran the ball a couple times his rookie year.
I know, right, bro?
He's like, straight. Bro. He's a straight quarterback. I don't know why he gets so much hate. I really don't know why he gets hate. He's good.
I'm not talking about Lamar Nick, Jackson, 11-30.
His receivers right are me, you, and Malcolm.
I swear to God, bro.
If I was out there, I mean, I was scoring some touchdowns, goddammit.
My football team had better fucking receivers than they get this guy. I mean, Willie Steve was a fucking starting receiver for this team. Guy can't even walk straight. I mean, what are we doing over here in Baltimore? It's actually pitiful. All he is Mark Andrews. It's so right. embarrassing.
Yeah, right now, nobody wants to go there.
I'm telling it's you, terrible. But Tyler don't want to. Tyler don't want to embrace the truth because that's our future quarterback.
I don't even know how our future. Feel. We're gonna have if I. Oh man, I don't know.
Bro, if Lamar comes here, I'm throwing a party.
Yeah, I'll be at your party.
Can I come?
I'll be
can
at I come? Your party.
Yeah, everyone could come.
Okay.
Besides Tyler. Tyler's not allowed.
I'll be in the basement.
Tyler's gonna be probably. Through the window.
No, Tyler can fucking Tyler can keep his ass at home.
Tyler's gonna punch Bob Bean where Squidward's looking out the window and everyone's
no, one second.
That's gonna be Tyler.
Bro, the guy's biggest hater on Lamar.
Hopefully it's a different option. Okay. We'll see though.
There's no different option. Contract negotiations, they traded Hollywood, he's pissed at the team. Greg Roman's still a coach over there. They're gonna say, man, I don't know if I want to stay in the AFC North. Welcome to Detroit. Lamar.
It's good. Yeah, you gotta remember, if he's a free agent, he's gonna have to want to come here too. So there's a lot.
Bro, we'll get him. We'll get him here. You troll MCDMC. We'll get him here. It's no big deal. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about getting him. I just cannot wait for this fan base to be in shambles when we get Lamar after all the shit these guys talk about him.
Not really. I'm like the only one to really talk shit.
No. I'm talking specifically to Tyler Sawa. That's what I'm.
Oh, I was gonna say. I'm the only person that talks shit about Lamar.
Tyler's so pissed. Lamar threw a 4th and 19. He dropped that dime on our heads to get a game winning field goal on us. That's why Tyler hates Lamar because he owns this poverty franchise. That's why he's mad. And that's gonna be our future quarterback. Time. Yeah, and he's 1-0. He's 1-0. That's why. That's all I'm saying. Undefeated against the Lions. And he's gonna be a future Lion, Lamar Jackson. I'm speaking it into existence.
Great. All right. Well, there you go.
All right, boys. I'll see you guys.
I'll see you, Nick. Take care.
Hey, take it easy, Nick.
Yeah, I'll see you guys.
All right. Well, way to end the show. Okay. Well, I hope you guys all enjoyed this live show where we talked about Jared Goff. I actually want to give a shout out. I forgot to do it before we started the segment. I want to give a shout out to a very loyal listener. He's not in here right now, but if he's listening back, you know, he requested this topic, and that is Anonymous. He requested this topic. I forgot to give him a shout out before the show.
He did request
this topic. So I appreciate him giving us a topic because I'm not going to lie. Me, Pierre, Malcolm, we were in shambles. It's the middle of June. I don't know what the hell to talk about with this football team. So I was very glad that I got a suggestion to talk about something on the live show. So thank you again, Anonymous, for giving us the topic. And I thought it ended up being a pretty good show. So with that being said, not really much to look out. We did post an episode a couple days ago. We did a defensive breakdown. So if you guys are interested in that, that's on the feed. And as far as future plans, I don't got any answers for you right now, but they will be answered very quickly. Those questions will be answered very quickly. So hope you guys all enjoy, and I'll see you guys later. Peace out.
Yeah, guys, and if you guys ever have any suggestions or anything you want us to talk about, you could always shoot us a DM. We'll bring up that topic. And I'm out, guys. Peace.
Yeah, man. It's your boy, Malcolm. And, yeah, man, please, if you have any ideas of – topics he wants to go through, send us those DMs. I mean, it's getting to a point that we're gonna be talking about like who the hell is Anonymous, like who is he really, like this is something that I've been trying to figure out. Who the hell is this guy? This guy's
been actually a great episode. We should do that.
Who is this guy? Like who is because he could be anybody. Like I don't know, he's just anonymous right now. But
that'd be a great show.
Let us know, because I'm telling you guys gonna come up to a Twitter Spaces and it's gonna headline, who the hell is Anonymous? But yeah, yo, besides that, man, I'm out, man. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.